Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Betsy Otter Thompson, author of Love Human. She has penned 5 books, Walking Through Illusion, The Mirror Theory, The What Happens If I... book, You Are What You Think, Love Human, and Love Parent. I'm your host, Jan Jaffe. Welcome to Your Best Life. I'll just take a moment to introduce myself. I'm a graduate of Northwestern University, from which I hold both my bachelor's and master's degrees. I'm also an IPEC certified professional coach, Energy Leadership Index master practitioner, and a core well-being dynamics specialist. I had a successful international career as a concert and opera singer and voice and masterclass teacher, which was cut short by traumatic brain injuries. These TBIs, as they're called, altered my life. I lost language for 6 weeks and was thrilled after 4 months when I was finally able to walk with the aid of a walker. My recovery took many, many years and was extremely difficult. But as a result, I've come to discover many things about myself and life, namely what it is to lose oneself, definition, career, and purpose in life and feel totally lost, that there is great strength in vulnerability, that there can be great opportunity and challenge, strengths I had never known I had, the true meaning of resiliency, and that I'm very good at picking myself up, dusting myself off, and hurling myself forward. I don't mean to make it sound as though it was an easy or straightforward process. It most certainly was not. With Forward to Success, I'm dedicated to helping professional women achieve optimal success, realization of their potential, and passion, purpose, life balance, and well-being in every aspect of their lives. You can contact me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. My guest today is Betsy Thompson. She's a native Philadelphian with a BFA from the University of Pennsylvania. She worked as an account executive for WFIL Radio in Philly, and from there went to radio stations WPEN and WFLN. After that, she became a commercial print model and acted in television commercials in New York and Philadelphia. For 17 years, she worked in Los Angeles at the motion picture and television company Castle Rock Entertainment as the assistant to the chairman and CEO. In August 1999, she followed her boss to Warner Brothers and became his executive assistant. She is now writing full-time. Betsy's writing began unexpectedly while going through an especially difficult time in her life. She believes that her books were the answer to her prayers. I am very excited to have Betsy Otter Thompson as my guest on today's show. Welcome, Betsy.
Thank you so much, Jan. I'm delighted to be here. I'm just really thrilled that you invited me to join you.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to have you. I would like to invite our listeners to call in with any questions or comments. We welcome your calls, questions, comments, and contribution to the discussion. The number here is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. Betsy, before we get to your book, Love Human, I'm curious about something you wrote in a blog post called I Was a Phone Call Away from Being a Bag Lady. In it, you discuss the humiliating task of asking your estranged mother for financial help during a particularly dire point in your life. Your final line was, I thought this situation was the final and worst humiliation of my life, but it turned out to be the beginning of its rebuilding. I'd love to hear how you were able to create an opportunity from that experience and more about what you meant in that last sentence.
Well, the thing is, I had been through really an unpleasant relationship with my mother for a long time. We didn't really agree on much of anything. We had a completely different philosophy towards life. We had different priorities. But when this happened to me, there wasn't really anyone else that I could call and ask for help. And it really was a matter of being out on the street. And so I told her what had happened, and she gave me the money that I needed. And after that, what I did was I decided that how this was going to end up was I couldn't control how my mother reacted to anything or how she felt about anything. I could only control what I was doing and how I felt about everything. So what I did was every month when I paid her off, when I had the money to pay off this loan, I would write a little note about what I was doing and how well I was doing and all that. And I didn't expect any replies, and I didn't get any replies. But each time that I said, and this went over, oh, this happened for about 2 years, and I realized that over the 2 years, it wasn't really her behavior that had caused so much havoc for me. It had been my reaction to her behavior, and I had now changed my reaction. And so from changing how I dealt with it, not how she dealt with me, that was the transformation that I needed. I realized that I was in control of how I behaved towards her. I couldn't control how she behaved towards me.
Ah, wow. That's wonderful. So basically, it sounds like a transformation that you went through in realizing you had a choice of reacting, and also that your filter may have been also affecting how you were viewing things.
Yes, I think that's true of everything. I mean, I think if you see life as unpredictable, you feel afraid. If you see life as interesting, you feel amused. If you see life as hurtful, you feel angry. It's all about how you perceive things. And I decided that I would perceive this as an opportunity to be grateful for the fact that she responded and helped me, because I hate to think what would have happened if she hadn't at that point.
That's
and so she did help it too. She actually put aside any feelings she had and responded. And so I don't think that our relationship never really changed, but how I felt about it changed. That's what I can say. How I felt about it changed, and I really do believe that we are in control of how we view things, and the attitude we take is the attitude we live and the attitude we attract.
Wonderful. And again, you're talking about, which sounds like it's the basis, in a sense, for this book. It's about our relationship with ourselves, and
yes,
that we cannot control anybody else. The only thing that we have control over is our relationship with ourselves. You also, and that leads into your book, because you also talk about how we connect, how we're all one, and how we connect with each other, and it has to start with our connection with ourselves, our
yes,
love for ourselves, and how we reflect that out, basically, almost like a mirror.
Yes.
So why don't
everybody, we are all one. So therefore, however mm-hmm, we treat other people, we are therefore treating ourselves. And so if I could, as I treated my mother with respect of a nice little note with each payment, whether she responded or not, or whether how she received it was really irrelevant. It was that I was giving as I wanted to receive, and I was living my life as I would want someone to behave towards me if it had been the other way around. And I really believe that that's what life is all about, and I believe that's what we come here to understand, that we are all one, therefore, as we give, we receive.
Wonderful. I love that. So let's get into your book. First of all, I wanted to ask you, what is Love Human basically about?
It's about finding comfort in a world where uncomfortable things happen. It's about seeing the big picture of where we come from and where we are going, so that our perspective about the present can change, and because we really only have the moment anyway. It's about embracing this world as it is and the people around us as they are and loving whatever that is, not because we live in a perfect world, but because as we love and accept life as it is, love and acceptance grow. And that's basically
mm-hmm,
what the book is about. It's really about you, me, and everyone, and that's what it's about. It's about you and me and everyone.
I love it, and our connection to everything around us. Although
yes,
there will be people that say, well, how can you love ISIS and that sort of thing? But as you said, it's not a perfect world.
It's not
and
a perfect world.
And we have to start somewhere.
Yeah, and I like to think, this is what the way I think of it. I'm very Shakespearean in my attitude toward life. Mm-hmm. I really think it's a huge play. We've all come here to take a role. And when we leave the play, we go back to our reality. But we're here to play a role, and just because we don't like the roles that others are playing doesn't mean that it isn't furthering mankind in general. I don't believe there's anything such as a haphazard event. I think that everything is for the human soul to evolve, and therefore there is wisdom behind it, even if we can't see that wisdom. And we don't come here with the knowledge to understand why other people behave as they do. We only come here with the wisdom to understand how we behave and the reason we behave as we do. And that's really all we need to understand, whether we are living as we hope other people will.
Wonderful. I love that. What a wonderful way of expressing that. It makes it so clear. Thank you. You know, I don't know if you've ever studied Kabbalah, but Kabbalah has some similar ideas about that, nothing being haphazard, and that sometimes someone comes into our lives to teach us a lesson, and it's almost as though their soul is making a sacrifice, in a sense, out of love, to teach us a lesson. And it may be a painful lesson, but it's something that our soul, a growth, a transformation, our soul has to achieve or is meant to achieve in this lifetime. So I agree with that.
I would say that I don't ever think it's a sacrifice, and that I think that every soul who's involved in anything has something to learn from that, from what happens. So there is no soul that is losing anything because it's giving a gift. It is gaining something too. So everyone is participating for what they need to understand about the situation.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Really beautifully said. Thank you. Now, I'm curious, why did you write this book?
Because I've been one of those, I think I was one of those child that never let up with the questions. I just always had questions, and none of the answers I ever got much satisfied me. It's not that I didn't hear other beautiful answers to questions that people had, the philosophical questions. They just weren't my answers, and sometimes they weren't even my questions. And so my book is really about answering the questions that I've had all my life. You know, what's this all about? Why we're here? You know, why are we here? Do we come here on our own? Did somebody put us here? All those kinds of questions mm-hmm. that we have from a very early age, if we have any kind of curiosity about the world around us. And so that's... But it's, you know, my writing has become more about the world within us than the world around us. But still, it's out of my curiosity.
Yeah, and it sounds like those existential questions that we, even as children, have as soon as we start to become aware. And the more aware we are, as someone like yourself, the more we ask those questions. So I love that. So in writing the book, or in the impetus to write the book, because there's so much great information, and there's information in there that I have not read anywhere else. So I'm wondering how you found or came up with the subject matter for this book.
It's interesting. When I discovered my gift of I was really only 4 years old when I discovered I had this gift of communicating with spirit. My mother was always talking about her grandmother, who she loved a lot, and she said I looked a lot like her, and so even then I wasn't getting along with my mother very well, and so I thought it was a definite asset that I looked like someone she loved. So I started talking to her. I didn't tell anybody I was going to start talking to her, so nobody told me I couldn't, and I had these lovely conversations, and then I assumed at the age of 4 that everyone could do this. So I went to my older sister and I told her who I was talking to, and I asked her who she spoke to. And that was my first indication of how the rest of the world was going to react to this gift at that time anyway. And she went ballistic and teased me unmercifully for weeks, and so then I stopped. And then it wasn't until actually this crisis that I had that we spoke about earlier, that when my life just seemed to fall apart, that I decided that my life hadn't really gone very well from not honoring this gift, and so I decided I would honor it again. And it was like a process of me taking responsibility for who I was in so many different ways, and this idea of speaking with spirit was just one more of those ways that I started to take responsibility for. And so I said a prayer one night that I wanted to honor the gift, and but I really needed a job to support me while I did it. And it was 3 weeks later that I had that job that supported me for the next 18 years. I mean, it was just an amazing transformation that happened practically overnight when I said, okay, I'm ready. And it was like the universe responded with, okay, if you're ready, we're ready, and here we go. And it's been like an incredible ride ever since. And so it is through that connection that the books just evolved. I sometimes don't even know what I'm going to write about when I sit down to write, but it seems that my willingness to be open to a message is how the book comes.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm curious, because it sounds, you know, like that this communication that you have, you said that it's with spirit, and I don't know if it's just your grandmother, or it sounds like you've been, in a sense, channeling other energies, other souls. But what I'm curious is, does this has nothing to do with anything that I read in your book, but I'm curious if you feel that everybody can do it if they just stay open enough.
Everyone can do it in their own way. I believe that an artist, you know, I asked myself this question, how does an artist get their view of something? And you could look at 20 paintings by 20 different artists of the same scene, and they're all different. And it's the same way with psychic gifts. People have different ways of expressing their psychic gift. And I think that somebody's ability to be a good scientist, or someone's ability to play the piano, or someone's ability to do anything is the love of God expressing through them. So I just think that that psychic ability has been put in a separate category just because it's not as familiar as the other categories. It's getting more familiar. When I first started doing it, it was very unfamiliar. And if you admitted to doing something like this, you were definitely, labeled a weirdo, but that isn't true anymore, because the more familiar something becomes to people, the more accepted it becomes.
Wonderful. I know somebody who actually does that. He's a psychic, amongst other things that he does, but he also teaches people how he believes, I don't know personally, but he believes that most people can be taught to do this, which is a very exciting thought. But the other question I have for you is, because you talk about this in your book, and I'd love to clarify this for our listening audience. When you refer to God, your definition of God. So if you wouldn't mind discussing that.
Well, I think that we all have God within us, first of all. I think energy. God is energy. Energy is one. We are all God. Everything is God. And I don't believe that anything within the whole of God's love is prioritized as more important than another part of it. So we are equally loved. We are equally powerful. It's like, how could energy as a whole, the only time that we see each other as separate, because this is part of the book too, which is an interesting part of what the history of humankind, kind of in the chapter on imagination. But if you have a circle and it's continuous, the circle is whole. The minute you say one part of that circle is less valuable than another part of the circle becomes fragmented. And that's what you see in the world today. We all look like fragments, different fragments walking around. But we are really all one. Because what our eyes see and what our hearts feel are two different things. We see the fragmentation, but we can feel a part of that oneness if we remember that we are one. We remember to treat other people as they are, as if we were them, and that is it's all about creating your own world, because we really can't. I mean, if you have a focus on what's happening over with ISIS or in another part of the world, what you really are a victim of is your own ego keeping you focused on what other people are doing instead of focusing on what you are doing and creating a world of peace for yourself. So we cannot each person individually do anything to change ISIS except to have a peaceful heart within ourselves and to create the kind of world around ourselves that we wanted. I don't believe there's any other solution to world peace than each person finding the peace within themselves that they wish the world would have.
Beautiful. Thank you. That is wonderful, and it's something that we all wish and hope for. Would be this wonderful, peaceful world. So I think we've almost covered, I was going to ask you why you feel the content of this book is so important. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Because just talking about world peace and love and people moving forward is such a huge component, I'm sure. But is there anything else that you'd like to add to, what you feel, why you feel this particular book is so very important?
I think it has to do with the idea that we are more powerful than we think we are. We are in control of the attitudes and opinions that we hold, and we attract back the attitudes and opinions that we hold. We just have to make sure that we hold the ones we want to receive in other people. And I think the book really talks about that, about taking responsibility for the opinions you have, the attitudes you have, the way you deal with things, the way you look at life, because that really is your responsibility. And you can change your attitudes. You can change your habits. It's like the way of thinking a certain way about life is a habit. Sometimes we grow up thinking the way our parents taught us to think, but when we get more mature, we do have the ability to think differently about something. We do have that power, and I believe that each of us really creates the world of our own dimension. I only speak from personal experience, and I can only tell you that for the first half of my life, my psyche was focused on blame, that everyone else was to blame for all my problems, that everyone else, it was because of their influence that I had turned out the way I had and that I had all the problems that I had. It was always somebody else's fault. And it wasn't until this turnaround was honoring my gift and hearing these messages and realizing that, no, I made those decisions. I made those decisions. Mm-hmm. No one else made those decisions for me. And so it's about taking responsibility for the decisions you make and finding the growth from making them. I mean, maybe you don't think they turned out so well, but you did learn something. And so being grateful for what you did learn, I really think that's what it's all about, and I think that's what this book is about too, is helping people in a kind and loving way to remember how powerful they really are.
Absolutely. I loved, as I was listening to you, I was hearing the energy shift from the being at the effect of what was going on, and then almost the anger, the blaming everyone else. And then when you started making the shift and this, looking at things from a more objective standpoint, rather than being in the middle of the circle where everything's happening to you, you are able to actually see more clearly what's going on, and then you took responsibility and for the choices that you made, and then also realizing that everything can be a lesson, a wonderful lesson, an opportunity for growth and transformation if we are able to see things more clearly. And even if it's a very painful lesson of what does not work and what harms other people, but most importantly ourselves too. So that is an opportunity for growth. That's really amazing, and it just shoots you up there. You have compassion, but you also practice self-compassion and wanting to create a world within yourself, because that is where our worlds are, and it's not a narcissistic view in that you feel that if this is what is emanating, it's love for everyone. So you've really described this from the bottom, this very catabolic, as we call it, energy, this very negative, heavy energy, which keeps us stuck and
yes.
sometimes in a terrible place.
Yes,
and you've shot past survival into just this incredible world view.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So just think about how powerless you feel when you feel that you're a victim of other people's behavior. How powerless a position that is. It means that you don't have any control over your life at all. That's a horrible, horrible feeling to feel that you're
mm-hmm.
in that place where everyone else is making the decisions that are affecting your life. And when you take the power over, it is transforming. When you say, no, I'm not a victim of anyone's behavior. I'm a victim of my own behavior. I'm a victim of how I'm reacting to their behavior. Then it's a different story, because when you know you're in control of how you can behave, you know you can control, you can create whatever you want to create. And that's where the miracle comes, of when you have turned something that feels so unloving into something loving. And I mean, I really think it's very, very empowering to believe that you can create the kind of life around yourself that you want to create by what you give to others. I mean, you're just, whatever you give to the universe says, for instance, the most recent idea that I heard about a year ago was that everything is love. The universe believes everything is love. Everything, every person, every expression, everything is love. And so therefore the universe interprets whatever you are giving as the love you want to get back. So therefore, if I'm disrespectful to someone, the universe says, oh, Betsy thinks disrespect is love, so let's give her lots more of that back.
A perfect description of the law of attraction, which is often just totally misconstrued by people. What seems to be out there is the message that if I want something, I will get it, rather than what we put out there.
Yes.
Which is what you're saying. What we put
you
out there
is what
we get.
You
don't
get what you want. You don't get what you want. You get what you need.
Mm.
You get what you need, and if you need to experience something uncomfortable, it's because you have made somebody else experience something uncomfortable, and the universe has sent you your mirror to inform you of your recent behavior. That's all. It isn't anything horrible. It's really a gift if we are willing to look at it and say, well, you know, how did I create this uncomfortable emotional experience for myself? And you don't have to do it in front of anybody else. You can do it in the privacy of your own home and ask yourself, you know, how did you give this discomfort to somebody else? Because I do believe that's what it's all about. I had this woman that I worked for a while that I just couldn't understand why she had the job she had. I didn't think she was competent. I didn't think she was should be in the job. She was over her head. And I would go home every night and I would fester over it and fester over it and talk about it, but behind her back, I mean, not in front of her ever. And she reacted to that negativity, and I could feel she didn't like me. And so I was into this study by then, and I said, wait a minute. I'm not powerless in this situation. I can look at this differently. And so I took a piece of paper and I started writing down any qualities that I could think about this person that I could praise, that I could feel good about. And so I did that. And I did this for about 3 weeks. And the most amazing thing happened. She could feel that different energy in me, and she responded to it. And it was like a complete change in the relationship. And there was not a word spoken between us. This was all from the emotions that she could feel coming out of me. And so, I mean, we are really powerful to transform things if we remember that it starts with us.
I love that. That's really true. I'm wondering, and this is a little bit off topic, although it really is in this same vein, how do you think that might relate to personal, you know, more intimate relationships, like with our partner or our spouse?
I think we attract people to us who think and behave and have the same philosophy that we have. I don't believe in the myth that the opposites attract. I think that if you're talking about opposites attract, it's probably about things on the outside that are part of the illusion. I don't believe intrinsically within that we do. I do know that when I was figuring out the relationships that I'd had before, it was always the insecurities in me that was attracting the insecurities in others. And it's not necessarily that the insecurities reveal themselves the same way, but the insecurity within me that attracted the insecurity of another. And once you admit to that, you become it really changes things for you, because once you admit what you need to work on, you can do it. But until you admit it, it's still there over and over and over again. Because until you know that there is something you can change inside of you, you don't bother to even look at it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. I'm curious also, again, along that same vein. So how would a person know, for example, in wanting to see the God in everyone else, when to let go of a relationship, whether it's with a friend or even a family member or, again, an intimate relationship? How does one go about that? Because we all know that judgment is not something we want to practice, how it actually hurts us. But also, the difference between that and discerning or discernment. So I'm curious to hear your views on that.
Yeah, I don't think you even have to do anything. I think if you change your way of dealing with life, you automatically move on to those who deal with it the same way you are. It isn't even something you have to worry about or try to control. It just happens. If you have an attitude that people are living their lives, and who am I to judge their lives? They have their important issues. I have mine. I'm going to let go and let people be. And you're with somebody who's constantly judging everyone they meet, that you aren't going to last very long with that person, because you aren't going to have compatible auras. So if you're still with somebody, there is still something that you need to learn from having that relationship. When there is nothing left for you to learn from that relationship, you will part. It will just happen. The universe will just make it happen, because an incompatible energy cannot mix together.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's like oil and water. It's like, you
right.
don't have to effort. You don't have to try. You just have to change who you are and be the person you want to attract. When people come to me and they say, I want to find my soulmate, I say, great. Take a piece of paper, write down all the qualities you want your soulmate to have. It doesn't matter if it's a list of 50 or a list of 5 things, just write them down. I said, and after you have them down, keep that piece of paper and never let go of it, and then start giving all the qualities that you want that person to have to other people. That's how you get that person into your life. Because if you are saying you want this, that, and the other, but you aren't being this, that, and the other, how are you going to attract that person to your life? That person is off finding the person who has this, that, and the other.
Wonderful. So basically what I'm hearing is, again, it's that same theme that's throughout your book and throughout a lot of what really, really important people in writing about life say, is that life, these are all lessons learned, these challenges that we go through. It's always, and like you said, if we're still staying with someone that that maybe doesn't resonate with us, we still have a lesson to learn. And I also be about writing a list of qualities and embodying them, what we want from someone else, in someone else, and we embody them, be who we want to be with.
Exactly. Someone asked me one time, she said, well, my husband abuses me, but I'm not abusing anyone. And I said, well, if you're staying in a relationship with an abuser, you're abusing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you have that energy. It's okay to abuse somebody. I'm abusing myself, so therefore you have an abuser with you. So stop abusing yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You said it better than anybody I've ever heard, anyone else I've ever heard send that message. I just want to remind our callers that we welcome your calls and your participation in the show. That number is 646-716-9397. Again, 646-716-9397. Here on the Life Coach Radio Networks, we are proud to have as our sponsor Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products, which include more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. Receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Now, here are some Audible books on self-love and development. Reinventing the Body, Resurrecting the Soul, How to Create a New Self, written and narrated by Deepak Chopra. Awakening Love, Teachings and Practices to Cultivate a Limitless Heart, by Pema Chodron. The Secrets of the Power of Intention, written and narrated by Wayne W. Dyer. And Living Beyond Miracles, written and narrated by Deepak Chopra and Wayne W. Dyer. So don't forget to sign up for your one-month free trial to get your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And now, back to our show. So, Betsy, we may have covered this already, but if you had to say what the most important idea or message in your book, Love Human, was, what would you say that is?
Well, I can say how the messages influenced me. They took me from feeling like a victim, who was at the mercy of other people's behavior, to being powerful in that I was the person who received whatever I gave. They took me from blame to accountability. They took me from the pain and resentment to seeing the growth that the pain had brought me. And after I found that growth, then I could feel appreciative and resentful. I always tell people when I'm talking to them or trying to help them that as soon as they ask themselves, what did I learn from this incident or these years of stress, or what did I learn? How did I come out of this in a better way? Then they begin to find the good from living it. For instance, when I came home from California and I came back to the family situation and all the old resentments and angers that I had were coming up again for me. And I, like the first 3 months I was here, I was like in this constant state of festering over the old resentments. And one morning I woke up and I had a lump in my back. And there's a lot of cancer in my family. So I called the doctor immediately. She said to come in. She said, yes, you have a lump in your back, and I want you to go in for a sonogram tomorrow. And so I said, okay. And so I went home that night, and I said, I picked up Louise Hay's book, and I looked for cysts or lumps, and it's all about resentment and grudges. And, of course, immediately as soon as I read that, I realized what I had been doing to myself. And I did a very deep meditation that night and asked myself, during the meditation, I asked myself, what did my relationship with my mother, how can I see this in a different way? How can I see this in some way that's beneficial? And it was almost as if I only had to ask that question when I heard the answer, that the very fact that we were so, that we disagreed on so much and had such a different philosophy about life is what pushed me to find a philosophy that would work. And so I could look at it and say, well, she was the gift, she was the person in my life who agreed to come here to be the motivator for me to find this philosophy that I came here to find. And so from that, I could release her and I could say thank you for that and I could feel gratitude. And as I'm talking about this, I'm getting goosebumps because it's the same process again of letting go. And I had this incredible meditation. It lasted for about an hour and a half. And I got up the next day and I went and had the sonogram. And the doctor called me in the afternoon and said, there is no lump in the picture, but I want you to go in for more tests. And I said, well, before I do that, I have to tell you what happened. So I told her what happened, and she said, well, come in and let me take a look at it. So I went in a couple hours, and she said, well, it's not there. And she said, I don't know why it's not there, but it's not there. And she said, I mean, you know, I'm not about to argue with success. And I had told myself when I left California that I was never going to go to another doctor that I couldn't say what I felt, you know, or what I really believed was true. And so, I mean, I believe it makes perfect sense. It's because it's as if the body said, oh, she gets it. She gets it. No reason for the lump anymore.
Wow, that's quite a story. That really
it is.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean it is because I think that you know, I was one of four daughters, and two of my sisters had no trouble with my mother at all, and two of us had a terrible time. And the other sister who had a terrible time died of cancer at 50. And I knew when I heard she had cancer, I said to myself, there but for the grace of God go I, because we both had this cancer inside of us regarding our mother. And I fortunately was able to let it go, and she was not. And I really believe that the body is reflective energy. It's a great gift in that way, in that it is always telling us what is going on in our mind. And if we would only look at it that way and say, well, what is this telling me that I need to know, that we could solve all our problems, I mean, all our physical problems, by remembering that it is about the mind and what's going on in it, that is that the energy, the reflective energy of our body is trying to help us.
Absolutely. And I have to say that I loved, you know, what you said about your mother agreed to come here.
Yes.
To teach this lesson, I think is what you said, or to have this role in your life.
Yeah, to have this role.
And that is so exactly what Kabbalah says, that
really?
People come in, and maybe I used the wrong word term before when I said sacrifice. But in the sense that when I say sacrifice, that she was part of creating some discomfort in your life, some pain. But the pain is often part of the growth process, just like or the transformation process. Just like when a woman gives birth, it's very painful, but
yeah.
You cannot go through that really, or some kind of. You know, even if you have a C-section and so you're not awake for the birth process, you still go through labor. You still, you know, being pregnant comes with pain and discomfort, all of that, and that is one of the most joyous activities in life is the result of you know, having a child, giving birth to a child, creating a child. So it's like that in other aspects of our life. In order, you know, as they say, no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
Right?
We can stay in our comfort zone.
I
have this vision that I go back to time and again whenever I need to. And my vision is of me being, you know, planning my journey before I came here. And I believe that I'm with a lot of other people or a lot of other souls who are also planning their journey. And we all love each other a lot, so that's why we're coming back together. And I say, oh, well, you know, this is something I need to learn to really honor myself this lifetime and my own philosophy. I mean, I need to find it. And then my mother jumped in and said, oh, I'll be that person for you because I need to learn such and such and such, and so I'll be that person for you in your life. I really believe this is how we do it, because why wouldn't the people who love us the most be the ones who give us the biggest challenges, because they're the ones who hope we succeed.
Yes, that's wonderful. I love the way you explain that, because that's often a very difficult and challenging and painful process. And also relationship for a lot of people. And, you know, we may forgive and whatever, but getting to that higher plane of understanding where our love, you know, grows with appreciation for the purpose, I mean, for the person who has purposed their life, in a sense, to our growth and their own.
Yeah.
I really love that. That is that is beautiful. No, go ahead.
I just want to say one quick thing about the idea of forgiving. I know some people feel it's very hard and impossible to forgive. So if you think it's impossible to forgive, just think in terms of releasing and letting go. I mean, you don't have to give it the biblical term of release, of forgive. You can just say, you know, I can let go of that person and let them live their life without me worrying about it.
Wonderful.
You know,
because I know a lot of I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because most of us have heard about the concept of forgiveness being for ourselves, that if we forgive, it reduces so much of the stress in our life. It doesn't mean that we have to continue a relationship with this person. It just means that, as you say, we're letting go of this,
yes,
this internal stress is what it,
right,
it, you know, it hurts us. And
yes,
so if we, as you say, if we can let go, we don't, it doesn't mean that we forget. We learn a,
yes,
lesson, as you've,
yes,
already explained. We learn a lesson from all of our experiences if we stay open to the lessons we can learn. And if we forgive, which really equates to let go of this anger, this feeling of blame to someone else, and just say, okay, I'm letting go of this, almost like visualizing letting go of a helium-filled balloon and watching it, you know, as though all of the bad feelings that we have towards that person is inside that balloon, and watching it vanish up into the sky and getting smaller and smaller and smaller until we can no longer see it.
Right.
It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it's out of our, basically, it's out of our heads, it's out of our sight.
Yeah.
So I think that sounds a little bit like, you know, I'm here with my hand making gestures, but it's a visualization, I think, that can work.
I have a balloon visualization, too. Mine goes like this. The balloon comes here for a purpose. If a balloon has a stone inside of it, it can't get the lift it needs to live its purpose. And the balloon doesn't care if it has a stone inside. It doesn't care if the stone is white, gray, or red. It just wants the stone gone. And I think that's the same way with our souls. Our souls don't care what the stress is about. It just wants it gone.
I love it. That's great. That is,
yeah,
so freeing. And that,
yes,
is so great, because so many people hold on to, you know, blame and anger, because sometimes it gives us a feeling of power in we're right, they're wrong. You know, and it's, we're not going to change anyone else. The only people, as you've been saying, and as a lot of us know, the only people that we can change, or the only person we can change, is ourselves. We cannot control anyone else.
Also, if you hold a lot of hate in your heart about somebody else, it doesn't affect that other person in the slightest. They might not care in the least if you hate them. It doesn't affect them. It affects you.
That's
you are the one holding the hate, not the other person. And so therefore,
and will attract someone else who is holding hate in their heart as well.
Yes,
if we hold
that
again, goes back to mirroring and the law of attraction. You know,
right,
that takes me into. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm just going to say that.
No, I was going to say, you have a chapter on about our mirrors. I don't know if there's some. We don't have time to go through all the chapters. We've had such a great discussion so far. But since that's such a valuable section, was there something else in there that in that chapter, for example, or about mirrors that you would like to talk about?
Well, that's just amazing, because that's exactly what I was going into. I was just going to say, it's so amazing. I was just going to say that if you are in a relationship and you aren't admitting, you know, and then you decide to end the relationship, but you aren't willing to ask yourself how you contributed and what it was in you that caused something in you that caused the separation or caused the split up, if you aren't willing to look at that, you just go on to create another relationship with the same challenge. Because you are still the same person. You haven't grown from what happened in the first relationship. So why would the second person you attract be any different? You have to ask yourself, you know, what did I learn from being in this relationship? Where was the emotional mirror for me to see something in myself? So for me, it was like asking myself, okay, I had obviously had something to learn about this relationship. How did this person mirror me? And then that's when I saw the insecurities that I had were mirrored in the insecurities of the person with me. And so it was almost as if once I saw that, there wasn't any need to do so much of the outside finagling. It just happened because you aren't the same person anymore. Once you've taken responsibility for the fact that you contributed to the relationship breaking up and you had something to grow from being in it, you are no longer the person who is suffering in that relationship.
I love that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. There's another chapter here. I mean, there's so many. I really recommend this book so highly. There's so many wonderful lessons, and it just opens your mind up and gives you a great understanding into all of these topics. But we're running out of time. One of them is because fear is such a huge motivator in our lives, and it holds us back. It affects our choices. So I wanted to ask you what you would say are maybe in the main messages in that chapter. Chapter 13 is fear irrational.
Yeah, well, it talks about being two kind of fear, healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Healthy fear keeps our bodies safe by keeping us aware of our physicality and the matter all around us. That's only common sense. Unhealthy fear keeps the mind stagnant by screaming in our ears, don't ask for help, your issues aren't important, don't have any fun, good times precede disaster, don't believe in yourself, you always fall short. And this voice is irrational fear. There's no logical reason for it to being. It doesn't offer you anything valuable. Nothing it represents has love. It's just a lot of advice, but never having any solutions. And every day we choose the voice we want to listen to, the voice of common sense or the voice of nonsense. And it isn't hard to differentiate between the two because the voice of love is always full of praise. It's always full of everything is the way it needs to be. Everything is fine. You're learning what you need to learn. You are the glorious love of the universe inside of you. I mean, if you doubt the voice you're listening to, just ask the message it's giving you. And so this is what fear is all about. Fear is about listening to this irrational voice that we live in an unsafe universe, that things can happen the next day, that, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, what's going to happen tomorrow is that you're going to receive the same love back that you gave today. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. and I don't think we need to worry so much about whether we're going to have a terrible accident and die, because the soul is very wise. The soul knows exactly where we need to be, when we need to be there, and when we need to leave here, the soul will take us out. That's all there is to it. As long as you're here, there's something for you to learn. And just so pay attention to the moment and the day you have to live and enjoy it, because it isn't the soul, to say that the soul, you know, to say that things happen in a crazy way is to say that the soul has, you know, is a dummy. I mean, you have to say your soul is a dummy. It doesn't know what it's doing, and that's an impossible equation. The soul is wise, totally wise for your journey. It has you here for as long as you need to be. Stop worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow is what's happening today. More of the same. So make today the best you can possibly make it.
Oh, what a wonderful message. Make today the best you can possibly make it. And I really loved what you said about the voice of love being praise.
Yeah.
And basically you were talking about the voice of fear being limiting beliefs and assumptions and things that hold us back. It's kind of the voice of criticism in a sense.
Yes.
As opposed to the voice of love and praise.
Yes.
So wonderful ways of describing the differences about what we should be listening to.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like you said, healthy fear. Reasonable fear, as opposed to the things that paralyze us.
Yes, I mean, if you're unsteady going down the stairs, hold on to the rail, for heaven's sakes. That's healthy fear.
I love it. That's great. No, that is great, right. And, yeah, and if it's really, 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 really cold outside, put on a coat.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Where has the time gone? I can't believe it. This has been such a great show. And I have been so honored to have my guest, Betsy Thompson, being on the show today. It's been quite a gift. I'd also like to remind our listeners that in life, we are the ultimate designers of our own lives. And what we present to the world through authentic, loving energy is what we draw to us. I'm Jan Jaffe of Forward to Success, and it has been my privilege to have been your host today. I would like to offer our listeners a free 30-minute discovery session, and for more information, you can always email me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at forwardtosuccess.com. I also want to remind our listeners that you're invited to share any comments or feedback on our website. That's http://www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. In addition to my solo interview show, Your Best Life, airing on the second Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern on this network, where I interview fascinating guests such as my guest today on many topics from all walks of life, I also host Think Tank, a roundtable discussion with my brilliant co-hosts Sharissa Sebastian and Susan Gonzalez. Think Tank airs the fourth Wednesday of every month at 12 noon. I would be delighted if you would join us for the next episode of Think Tank on September 23rd at 12 noon Eastern. Betsy, would you care to share any closing thoughts, comments, and contact information with our listening audience?
Yes. My website is BetsyThompson.com, BetsyThompson, and all my social media can be reached from my website. And I also wanted to leave the message that peace is a state of mind. After it's found in thought, it manifests in matter.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Would you mind repeating that last message?
Yeah, peace is a state of mind. After it's found in thought, it manifests in matter.
Wonderful. That is a great lesson for us all, and a great great remembrance as we go throughout our days. So I'm just going to take a moment to announce a few of our upcoming shows. On this, the Life Coach Radio Network, September 10th, that's tomorrow at 8 p.m., Guiding Yourself into Being with with Harper Spiro and Jennifer Belieber. On September 12th at 10 a.m., Reveal Your Excellence with Renee Ellison. September 20th at 8 p.m., Collaboration. And September 23rd at 12 noon, Think Tank, Procrastination, The Whys, The Hows, The Effects, and Solutions. And on our sister network, the Life Coach Chat Channel, September 9th, that's this afternoon at 2 p.m., Tuning Into Your Soul and Trusting in Your Manifest Abundance. On September 15th at 7 p.m., Transform Your Life with Coach Tamara. October 5th at 2 p.m., Holy Shift with professional coaches Barb Heenan and Leslie Picchietti. And October 6th at 7 p.m., Transform Your Life with Coach Tamara. I want to again thank my wonderful, wonderful guest, Betsy Otter Thompson. It was a fabulous conversation. I so loved it, and I know our listeners learned a lot. I certainly did. Thank you, Betsy, for joining me today and making this show a special one. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.